So page 684, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Great. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you for having me.
Here we are, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 18. We're going to miss out a chunk in the middle because that's next week's sermon, so we sort of pulled a bit out. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount, aren't we? So Jesus is speaking to disciples and a load of people on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's been a while since we've read that passage, and I suspect that for most of you, it's the first time you've heard that passage read today. So how about we read it again? I'm going to miss out the Lord's Prayer. So can I read that again to us all? Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And let's skip on to verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's pray briefly. Heavenly Father, please may we understand from this passage today that we need to live for you alone and not ourselves. Please change our hearts, we pray. Amen. Be careful. Be careful when you walk along the road. There might be a car. Be careful when you hit your brother. It's only a game. Be careful when you sculpt your tash. You might cut yourself. Be careful is a familiar phrase, isn't it? That's drummed into us for as long as we can remember, probably. And chapter 6 starts with the same words, be careful. This warning isn't to guide on how much we should give or pray or fast. Yes, the passage does talk about that. But the principle outlined in verse 1 is the overriding theme, which is then illustrated in each of the three examples. This passage is to do with our motives for what we do. Have a look at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Or, be careful to live for the glory of God, not for the gratification of man. That's what we're about this morning. Jesus is interested in our heart and our motives. Verse 1 goes on to say, doesn't it? If you do your acts of righteousness to be seen by men, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's a big warning. And that's our warning today. A great reminder that we can be free from the fear of what other people think, and that we can be loved as a child of God. But how hard it is, isn't it, to live without worldly recognition? Sometimes we must do things to please others. During the Olympics in the summer, the gymnasts, the divers, with their perfectly toned bodies, unlike mine, move and jump and dance and impress a panel of judges, don't they? They wouldn't be very good. They wouldn't win if they did their routine when no one watching. That'd be crazy, because the best scores from the judges wins. I guess that most of us aren't divers or gymnasts, but there are times perhaps when we do need to impress others, and that's fine. But if we live our lives exclusively to impress others, we will get things tragically wrong, says this passage. A major warning follows in verse 2. There it is. Don't be a hypocrite. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. And down to verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. And verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. We need to be clear what a hypocrite is. And I thought about what a hypocrite was, and I wasn't really that sure, to be honest with you. I had an idea. But Jesus is not saying that a true Christian here gives and a hypocrite doesn't. No, a true Christian prays and a hypocrite doesn't. Or a true Christian fasts and a hypocrite doesn't. In this passage, everyone is doing these things, but they're doing them with the wrong attitude. You probably know that the word hypocrite comes from the word for an actor. And actors act, don't they? They do make-believe. They persuade you that they are something they're not. The make-believe in verse 2 is not that people pretend to give but actually don't. No, there is giving taking place, isn't there? The make-believe is that people are giving not for the sake of the needy, but rather that they can be seen as generous. We must be careful, actually, that we take away from this. Giving is great, isn't it? Children in Need on Friday raised millions of quid for children in need around this country. And it's great to be generous in that. There might be a few thousand quid raised through people like me growing a moustache. Giving to the needy is very important and it should be encouraged. But what is our motivation for giving? Are we giving for instant recognition of people around us? The people in verse 2, have another look at that. In verse 2, they're pretty extreme, aren't they? They get out their trumpets and announce what they're doing. Now, I've never seen any of you announce what you're doing with a trumpet, so I don't think we need some kind of trumpet amnesty. That's not the point. Jesus says, that's an extreme. Let us go to the other extreme. Let's not let, verse 3, our left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's pretty much impossible. Although sometimes it seems to happen at work, doesn't it? You know, no one knows what's going on. But it's impossible, isn't it? How does your left hand not know what your right hand is doing? They're joined together. But I think the principle that Jesus is getting at is emphasising that we must not be doing things for the sake of an earthly audience. We should be doing things for an audience of one, an audience of God alone. God sees what we do in secret, and he sees our motivation for doing these things, and the rewards are fitting. If we give and shout about it, or get your trumpet out to announce it, to show how generous we are, then all we get is worldly recognition, says verse 2. I guess if you're not a Christian, who cares? That's fine, isn't it? But I pray that you will become a Christian and live for the glory of God and live forever for him in with him in heaven, because this world is so short and temporary. We read earlier on about being like grass. Grass just dies and withers away. But if we are a Christian, we must be giving for an audience of one, so that only God can see. Then, as verse 3 says, we can get heavenly recognition. We try to encourage that, don't we, in our church giving. There's only two people who know how much you give. That's you, the giver, and me, because I'm the treasurer and I have to count it all together. But otherwise, ideally, it would only be you who knew, and God. But the principle remains, we must be giving for God's glory. Or are we going to be thinking, are we going to be giving because of what others might think of us? Jesus goes on to give the same warnings about praying in verse 5. Have a look. Don't be as the hypocrites who shout about their praying in public. No, go to your room and shut the door. The two extremes again, isn't there? I don't see many of you shouting in public that you're praying. Go to your room and shut the door. So, should we cancel our prayer meetings, do you think? I've said before that they're one of the most important meetings of our month, the prayer meetings. Am I wrong? I hope not. Of course not. The principal question is, what is our motivation for praying? Is it to be seen as spiritual? To impress people with our words? Because if it is, the same result happens. We get our full reward from men. We must be praying for an audience of one. God sees what we do, everything we do, and the motive behind it. Now, next week's talk is going to go into a bit more about prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But can I encourage us in prayer meetings to be confident to pray? God loves it when we pray with the right motive. Some people might feel self-conscious and don't come along. But the Bible encourages us to pray together. So please do come along to prayer meetings. And those of us who do come along, we must be really careful not to even hint at the impression that some people's prayers are better than others. When my children come and talk to me, I don't not want to listen to them. When they want to talk to me and tell me about their day, I want to listen to them because I'm their dad. God wants to listen to us, so let's encourage each other to do that. Let's not even give a hint of the impression that we are super spiritual, but let's stick with the motive that we pray for the glory of God alone. What about fasting then? Let's fast forward to verse 16. In each of these three sections, it's not a question of if you're doing something, is it? In each case, it's assumed you do. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. We'd agree with that, wouldn't we? Christians should give. Yep, we say that. Christians should pray. Yep, we say that. But I don't remember much teaching about fasting. Perhaps that's wrong. Perhaps that's wrong of us, I think. Jesus seems to assume that we're doing it anyway. When you fast. So what is fasting then? Fasting, the voluntary abstinence, don't eat, from food in order to pray and promote self-discipline humbly before God. Jesus considers fasting as part of Christian life. Interesting that we don't seem to talk much about it these days, but perhaps we should more. Or you're all doing it in secret and it's excellent and I just don't know about it, which is thumbs up. Jesus again says the hypocrite fasts all right. Yeah, he's doing it. But the exercise isn't one of self-discipline, is it? It's of self-advertisement. And Jesus warns us again, don't be a hypocrite. The people of Jesus' day were looking somber and sad, disfiguring their faces. Apparently they'd put like ash on their face to make them look bad and all that sort of stuff. Again, I don't think we sort of fall into that trap. Jesus says, no, don't do that. Put oil on your head and wash your face. Do the normal things that you do every day. I put hair gel on my hair, have a wash occasionally, have a shave, apart from my upper lip, get dressed as normal, carry on as normal. The reason is exactly the same for giving and praying. Verse 18, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You don't need the praise of men. We need to fast for an audience of one. Most of us know the explanation of the gospel, don't we? Two ways to live. This is absolutely right. We can either live with ourselves as ruler of our lives, or we can live with Jesus as ruler of our lives and live for him. Those of us who are Christians, I hope, firmly believe that there are only two ways to live. But where this passage makes things very uncomfortable is how it highlights that actually we can live in a way that fools us into thinking there's three ways to live. One, we live with ourselves as ruler and king. Two, we live with Jesus as ruler and king. Or three, we outwardly live for Jesus, but in our hearts we're actually living for ourselves. And that's the principles he's talking about here. Hypocritical religion is destructive. Hypocritical religion short-circuits our evangelism, that was talked about last week, where our lives don't correlate with what we say. Today's verses show that to give is to serve others. To pray is to seek God, and to fast is to discipline ourselves humbly before God. The hypocrite destroys the integrity of these by turning them into self-display or self-gratification. Someone said, our only reason for pleasing men around us is that we may please ourselves. But could we become so conscious of God that we cease to be self-conscious? Can our motives ever be pure? When I look at myself, in some instances, unfortunately, I live in the third way to live. I outwardly live for Jesus, but actually live for myself, self-gratification. And we have to constantly, don't we, come back to Jesus and say sorry for when we get it wrong. And we can do that with the help of the Father. Now, did you notice when Lucy read the whole passage there, the whole verse 1 to 18, the emphasis Jesus places on the Father? Verse 1, your Father in heaven. Verse 4, your Father. Verse 6, twice. God is described as your Father. 18, twice again, your Father. There's more times in the bits that I've missed out, that we missed out in the Lord's Prayer. It starts, doesn't it, our Father. Jesus is pushing the point here that there is something new to the people listening at the time about the nature of God. Seems a bit strange because we know, Lord, that we know references to God as our Father all the time, don't we? Loads of people know it. Loads of people who don't come to church know it. This opening line of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. Everybody knows he's referred to as our Father. But we need to be aware here that without Jesus we cannot get close to God. I gather that up until Jesus, no Jew would address God as Father. Not to be on speaking terms with someone is terrible, isn't it? But that's what our relationship is like without Jesus. Jesus invites us to share God as Father, and the nature of this Father is to know and love his children. God sees what goes on in secret and he rewards it. Again and again, at the end of each verse, it says so in our passage today. We might be worried, though, mightn't we, that if people don't know that we give, they might think we're stingy. What about praying? We can't see the Father when we pray, and others can't always see me praying, so they might think I don't pray. Don't worry, the Father knows when you're fasting. Go on being as normal so that it's not obvious that you're fasting, because the Father knows. Again and again, we are assured at the end of the verses that your Father who is unseen and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is urging the true child of God, the true Christian, not to try to impress people. Why try to impress people if all you get is their gratification? You won't know if I give, if I pray, or if I fast, but God knows. Let's not worry about going to the next prayer meeting with a fear of being hypocritical, unless we're not praying behind closed doors, of course. Let's not swap God's approval for our Father. Sorry, it's God's approval, our Father, for the approval of men. Today's passage has had some very practical warnings, but the principle is, what are we living for, ourselves or God? What is our motive in life? To win instant gratification or to live for God and an eternal reward in heaven? God loves reality, not hypocrisy. Can we become so conscious of God that we cease to be self-conscious? Can we give, pray and fast for the glory of God rather than our own? Some significant questions to ponder, perhaps. And shall I just pray as we finish? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a love for us and a concern for us that doesn't want us to deceive ourselves. And we pray that you would search our hearts and expose ways in which we are a hypocrite. Please grant us the grace to live and to give and to pray and to fast as true children of our Heavenly Father. For Jesus' sake, Amen.